Hello, and welcome to the first episode of the Deep Dive Podcast. I'm PB, or Pumpkinberry, and this project was born from an incredible passion for video games, particularly narrative games and dissecting the emotions and thoughts that a great game can evoke. But most of all, I love conversation. When I play a game that moves me or leaves me sitting there at the end credits, just thinking about everything that just happened, I immediately want to get up and find somebody else who's played it and talk about it. Each week, I'll have a new guest and we'll dive about our favorite games. And we'll talk about everything from how it affected us to those sentiments rippling out into our daily lives. And sometimes it gets a little personal too. However you found your way here, I'm so happy that you did. This first episode, we're going to focus on Rumu, which is an intimate narrative-driven adventure that follows the path into sentience by a robot vacuum cleaner. The game is developed by Robot House, based out of Sydney, Australia, and it is their first release. It was directed by Dane and Tyrone Madams, written by Daniel McMahon, and has a really gorgeous score by Matt McLean. It is recommended that you play the game before listening, as we are going to dive deep. In the abyss, there be spoilers. And without further ado, let's descend.
Okay, memory active, basic input output, boot disk is starting up.
Too many memory locations. I told you he would struggle with the boot process.
Yeah, you're right. As always, bring up the console for me. Maybe we can manually...
Leave him alone. Give him a chance.
I never knew it was possible to love an appliance so much.
Not since the waffle maker.
Be serious, Jess.
I'm serious. It was your birthday present. We ate nothing but waffles for 2 weeks.
Oh, that's right. Why do we stop?
I hid it?
I will have you know, I am listening to this conversation, and I find it extremely hurtful.
Oh, we're sorry, Sabrina.
I am not a waffle maker.
Of course you're not. We love you very much. We're very proud of you both.
Hello and welcome to Deep Dive. I'm PB, and with me today is Howdy and our guest Sko, who is a video game streamer on twitch.tv. You can find her at twitch.tv/Skowalz, and that's Skowalz. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Oh, that was way easier than I thought it was going to be.
That's great.
Well, actually, thank you. First try. Was that a first try? Not really. I mean, kind
of
had a little
to
bit of
the listeners. It is because it's
yeah.
The first
okay,
one
fair enough.
Heard, so.
it was great.
Fair enough. Okay. So we are talking today about Rumu, which is a game about a sentient robot that is like a household cleaning bot that sort of on its journey through sentience. So Sko and I have both played and streamed the game, and Captain has watched the game twice now, you said you watched my playthrough.
Yep.
And then a different one as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And so that's what we're going to deep dive about. Once again, please play the game, obviously, before listening to the podcast, because we're going to spoil everything. The game opens up with Sabrina, the artificial intelligence of a household, and she's sort of taking care of the entire house. She's guiding Rumu, the robot, on how to clean and what rooms to go to and you know, what kind of things that Rumu needs to be doing. So the first question that I have for you guys is, would you have a house that is automated like this?
I'll go first, if that's cool. I don't know if I would. I'm already hesitant to get things like an Echo and you know, like the Google Home thing. It's like one piece where I'm like, you know what, I'm all set, So at this point, like, no, I don't think I would go that far as to have my entire home automated. I already know that everything is recorded at all times. Like, so that's like not the issue. I don't know. There's just there's another layer to that that feels like not invasive because it's like a choice. It's not like someone's coming in and like forcing you to do it. I don't know. I like that little bit of like separation of my tech and like my physical world, I guess. And that might just like be a little too much for me.
Yeah. It's kind of got that iRobot feel of, you know, you're basically opening your back door in case something did want to happen, or, you know, somebody did want to take over your robot or steal more data or information. I know when we played the game, we talked about this device that you can get that you can strap onto the side of your garbage can, and it will actually tell you when your trash is full and you need to take it out. Like, it'll text you to say, hey, you need to take the trash out, or it will also then update your grocery list automatically for you.
That's
and say,
cool.
Yeah, you just threw away this type of orange juice. This is your favorite. So be sure to get this one and not a different kind. And the way they market it is saying, you know, if, you know, it'll text your kid to say, come in from outside and, you know, take out the trash, and it'll text your husband and say, hey, this is the kind that we get. So make sure to pick this up from the store on your way home. And I found that very frightening and very creepy, actually,
yeah.
That type of automation.
Yeah. And I would add to that, like, I don't want to be like one of those people that's like, tech is ruining our like in-person relationships and stuff like that, because it can certainly enhance them. But I've find like the more as time goes on, it's like those little interactions that like sometimes that is your only touch point with someone throughout the day. Being
yeah.
like, hey, can you like pick up whatever or like take out the trash? And like
yeah.
even to lose that to like automation, I don't know. It's just like, it's like, damn, like sometimes that's the only thing.
It's weird that you say that, because it's the only way we can see the couple's relationship in the game as well. David and Cecily in the game,
yeah.
they often will talk to each other only through text. And I guess it makes sense for them because they're, you know, workaholics and whatnot. But I don't know. What about you, Captain? Would you do automation?
Well, I think I'm definitely open to it. Something that struck me right away, Sko, with your answer, was that it seemed like you are worried about not only like a lack of just general human interaction and kind of taking that away, but also your privacy. In the context of the game, at least how it's implied, is that all of these things in this house and all these systems are built by David and Cecily themselves. So taking that into account, do you feel like you would welcome that sort of automation if you knew that it was yours and that you had complete control over it?
That is a super good point. And I would say, yeah, I think I'd be more open to it. And because it's like your creation, right? It's like you have full,
mm-hmm.
Full control.
You can look at that code.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think when you frame it that way, like, yeah, I'd be more feeling
it. I gotcha.
Yeah.
But then you have to consider, which is kind of what the game is about. Would you develop these things to have emotion? Which is, you know, like the key point of the game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that really spoke to me because I do. I would love to do that. That is something that I would love to do. Even my chatbot that interacts with viewers on Twitch is on its way towards, you know, imitating human interaction as much as possible. Like, I love that. So to see that and then also see, you know, the cost of that, or, you know, obviously I'm nowhere near making an actual artificial intelligence, but just seeing kind of, you know, where that's going. What is it that I actually want? Do I actually want to create a bot that can, you know, simulate AI, or am I looking for a different form of connection? Am I looking for a different form of human understanding? I feel like the game really kind of reached out to me and said, you know, why would you do this? You know, why would humans create a machine that could feel? This is awful. Why would you? Why? And, it's true. There is a saying here in the game. Sabrina says, cruel as emotions can be, they are at least temporary. Humans rely on this transient.
Yeah.
But machines cannot. And I just thought that that kind of struck me. I had to stop for a second when I was playing and think about that. There is a TV show. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It is called Humans as well. And it is about AI and artificial intelligence, robots and all this good stuff. But there is a character on the show that basically is half robot and says, my memories don't fade away like humans do or like they used to. So the loss of a person or the fact that a person was with me every single day, like my childhood, all of that is right there at my fingertips every second. So I don't actually, I'm in a constant state of grieving everything. And wow. I don't have any time to let it go. And I don't have any time to let that fade. That pain is always fresh. And it's always like I'm reliving it. And that's, it made me think of that. And it made me think of something at the very beginning of the game where she says, the memory of a thing lost is better than no memory of it at all, which is ironic because the entire game, she's like erasing her memory. So she doesn't have to remember this awful thing that happened. But that got me to thinking, would I, and do I prefer a memory of something lost versus no memory of it all? And I don't know how you guys feel about that. If you would rather not remember a traumatic thing, or if you would rather remember it and at least try to get over it or go through it.
I don't know if that's ever, something I could actually decide on, to be honest with you. 'Cause you know, a lot of times it depends on the context, you know, like if you just have this absolutely terrible, awful experience of something that's happened to you, obviously it's not something that you're going to want to relive. And even if it was just the most painful thing that you've ever experienced, you know, it is also important to consider what you've learned from it. And if you have the ability to just remove these memories from yourself, do you lose the knowledge that comes along with it? Do you lose that thing that you learned about yourself or about other people or about somebody in particular? I think it's definitely a double-edged sword sort of situation. It's really hard to decide what the appropriate answer to that would be for me anyway.
Yeah, I would kind of agree with that. And that it's like if you could keep the learning but like erase mm-hmm. like any sort of like horrible memory or triggering event of it, which like the way you just framed that reminded me of like Life is Strange. Like you can like keep your inventory and your knowledge, but erase like the actual event that made it occur, which is like crazy. But yeah, it also brought up something else, like how Facebook and shit will like be like, remember this from like 4 years ago? It's like, do they have any sort of emotion algorithm to where like, why would you put up this photo of like me and this person that I don't like anymore? Like I had a terrible experience with. So it's like, so yeah, if you could somehow like keep the learnings, but have the choice to not go back and not be reminded of it.
Something else that Sabrina actually said, I believe before she said the memory of a thing lost is better than never knowing it at all, is when she's just speaking to Rumu and like applying comfort like proactively and saying that everything is okay as long as she is there. I wonder if more specifically she means if something bad happens to you, I can just remove it from your memory so you don't even have to like remember that it exists.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's true. I think she's probably done that multiple times. I think they show in the game that time passes, you know, it's like so many days go between when he goes to day one and day two. So I think she's probably done it a couple of times to him. At least that was my interpretation of it.
Yeah.
Which is awful, but also very robotic and also very childlike. I feel like Sabrina, the AI Sabrina, was very, very much representative of a child, as is Rumu in some ways. But there were moments where I just thought to myself, like, if you just took yourself out of this game for a second and you listened to the dialogue, it would sound like a child child trying to understand loss, you know, of a parent, which I thought was very incredibly well done. Yeah. Did you trust Sabrina? In the beginning?
I did. I think maybe it's because she was, I go back and forth with this so much. It's like, maybe it's because she was a robot and it's like, or, you know, an AI or whatever you want to call it. I was like, yeah, she's just doing, like, it's not predictable necessarily, but it's like, she's going to be going by the book, right? But then, like, as we learn more about her, not that I trusted her less, but I was like, oh, there's definitely more at play here than just, you know, AI programming.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I found from the very start of that game, I found everything that she said to be super malicious and just like gross. And it really bothered me. Like, you know, you take into account, okay, so you have Rumu, and Rumu's defined purpose is to clean and to love unconditionally, right? And like a child. And you take Sabrina's dialogue and actions, especially in the beginning portions of the game, and it's like she's shaping Rumu like a ball of like clay or something, and I found it like just disgustingly manipulative to and also in turn how you would think that or how I should say I would feel like a parent doing this to their child would be just manipulative and unfair, to never let them, or to limit their growth and self-experience and process of self-learning. So no, I absolutely distrusted her from the moment that game started, just because it bothered me so much, because I had the same thought process of like, wow, this is exactly how a parent would talk to a child. And it's good to, what a parent should do, in my opinion, is encourage the learning process and not basically take a course of this is how you should think and this is how you should feel. So
yeah,
my answer is straight up 100% no. It really bothered me.
Maybe it's good I don't have kids.
I'm not sure that I immediately distrusted her because of that reason, or if it was because I was just expecting, you know, some twist or something like that. But I definitely didn't trust her either. And a lot of what she said did make me uncomfortable. Like when she first said, if you'll love me, you won't go in there. Or I think she, she said, if you love me, something. And I went, no, that's not how that works. You can't do that, because obviously that's
you will stay in the beginning.
Yeah, you will stay.
Yeah. Through the first cleaning process. That's what she said.
That though, like, sorry, like totally mirrors what like Cecily did to her though. So is that like a learned behavior?
I think it is. We're talking about a moment in the game in which Sabrina, as a learning artificial intelligence who is caring for this house of these two scientists, is put into a tough situation. One of the scientists is trapped in a room and the other is on the other side of the door. And the door has been locked due to hazardous conditions.
It's too late, all right?
No! No! Let me into this room, Sabrina! Let me into this room right now!
Do not let her in, Sabrina. Under no circumstances. Cecily, please, please, just look at me. I love you. I will always love you.
Sabrina, please! If you love me, you let me in.
Yeah, because Cecily says, if you love me, you'll let me inside the room. And obviously, right. You know, Sabrina is a young, childish type robot learning sentience. So of course she's going to let her in. You know, what would you do in that situation? What would you do in that situation, by the way? If somebody said to you, you know, I want to be with my partner of 37 some odd years because they're dying in this room alone. Would you let them in or would you keep them out?
Oh boy.
Damn. Yeah.
You go first, Skull.
Oh, damn it, Cap. Why you got to be like that? Why you got to do this? Okay, so I'm Sabrina in this situation. Okay. Oh, damn it. I'd probably let them in because I also, I would open the door.
Yeah, I think I would too. What about you, Cap?
I find it very difficult to accept the notion that this robot, this artificial intelligence, can process emotion on the same level that a human can. So for me, it's sort of like, I feel like I would be able to, as emotional as something like that would be, I would still be able to take that and separate it and say, okay, yes, like, I understand, like, this is the most awful thing that's probably ever going to happen to you. You literally are watching the person that you love die in front of your face, and all you want to do is be with them. But at the same time, you have the other half of your brain that's saying, okay, well, if I open this door and let you in, you are going to die as well. And how is that productive? How does that make anything better? You know what I mean? So I feel like in that situation, if I was Sabrina, I would not open the door.
But that's, how is that your choice, right? Do you have the right to decide for them at that point?
Well, that's the thing, though. You know, in the context of the game, it's an emotional decision that Sabrina is making, and not like a decision based on instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, in the case of what I would do versus what Sabrina would do, I think it's very hard to put myself in those shoes because my decision making process is just different to begin with, as far as that goes.
Yeah. I don't know, I just find it hard to deny someone their final wish, as it were, and also to know that if I didn't open the door, not that her hating me forever would be necessarily bad, but just for her to have all that hatred mm-hmm. about it, and to rob her of her final moments with that person in yeah. the way that she would want, I don't feel comfortable with. I don't feel like that is my decision to make, whether I'm a robot or whether I'm a human. I feel like if I was in that position and somebody else wanted to, you know, like a friend of mine wanted to go in and it was not a good situation. Like, let's just give a crazy example of zombies have taken over and, you know, somebody's infected and you go in and you're going to get infected. Maybe they don't bite you, whatever. And, you know, it's a situation of like, I want to go in with and be with my lover. Let me in. I would do it. It's just not my place to take that away from somebody. But that is an emotional decision for me, not a logical one, though. So maybe that's where the difference is.
Yeah, I find it very difficult to separate the two.
To separate emotion and logic?
Yeah. Or to, I guess, make a decision based solely on emotion without considering logic at all, you know, especially when you do also have to consider making a decision that you make in the heat of the moment is not the same decision that you would make if you had time to sit down and think about it.
That's so true. That's so true.
Yeah.
And also, what if they would regret it after? What if you regret it after?
I think...
Right.
And I think if Sabrina had sort of, I guess, learned loneliness before that point, I think she probably would have followed the instruction, her sort of hard-coded instruction to not open the door. Because I feel like her loneliness after all of that is what really, like, sort of ruined, not ruined her, but, you know, was, like, really hard for her.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think she would have chosen differently. Well, we kind of know that, actually, because she keeps Rumu going and gives Rumu purpose and doesn't just let Rumu go dormant, because she doesn't want to be lonely. And she says, I think she says there's a line in there where she says, the things people do, or the things we will do to not feel, I forget exactly what the line is, but to basically not feel not love or sadness, you know, loneliness. She doesn't have a word mm-hmm. for loneliness, so I think she just calls it not love.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's crazy. The game is actually really interesting with a lot of those questions. I think Rumu even says, I love difficult questions. I love difficult answers at some point in the game, which is super cute. But I think the game starts with, do you love painting or art? Or do you love art? And I just thought that was also super interesting, because do you love the physical act of painting, or do you love art as an idea? Like, I feel like she was asking Rumu, you know, it's kind of like a, kind of like a Turing test almost, to kind of see if he understood art as a concept, which I thought was pretty neat. At least that's how I interpreted it. I'm not sure if you guys took it the same way, or if it was just kind of like, do you love painting or do you prefer to look at it instead of drawing?
Yeah, no, I thought it was like, do you like the act of doing something or just, yeah, the concept of it?
Yeah, the idea of art and what it means. It's crazy. The game also touches on being a workaholic and bad parenting, which we kind of touched on a little bit earlier in our conversation, but David and Cecily are not very, they're neglectful to their daughter, who is also named Sabrina. So from this point on, we'll say, you know, human Sabrina or AI Sabrina or whatever, if we need to distinguish the two. But they're very loving towards each other, but they kind of neglect their human child, Sabrina. And then they end up naming this AI that they build after their daughter, who is not dead. Originally, when I played through, I thought something horrific had happened to human Sabrina, yeah. And that is why they named the AI Sabrina, which made it even more tragic for me when I found out, no, she's alive. She's like off at college somewhere or seeing the world and doing something. They just were so wrapped up in what they were doing that they just neglected their one kid. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I've seen a game do that, actually, where it wasn't a, you know, traumatic or, you know, crazy thing that happened to the child. It's just the child's still there. It's just the parents were shitty.
Yeah.
I found that pretty disturbing, mostly because I feel like I have those workaholic tendencies. You know, I grew up sort of in that kind of situation. Like my mom, I love her to death. She's a filmmaker, but that is her first love. So I did kind of, that spoke to me on a personal level because I did feel that growing up, where it was kind of like, oh, it, you know, can't really share you with another machine, I think is what human Sabrina says.
Can I ask you something, PB?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Related
absolutely.
To that? Okay. So in that situation where human Sabrina was like, also don't name the AI after me, that's creepy. Would you feel similarly, or what would you think about that?
Oh yeah, so like if my mom made a film about me or something, or
yeah, or like yeah, made a character, oh, or like yeah, made a robot, like yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that would be weird. That would be super creepy. Because yeah. What if it's not? What? Yeah, and this is probably what Sabrina felt. What if it's not me? What if I look at that and go, no, you got that totally wrong. Yeah. That's not who I am. And then that just reaffirms that you don't really know me. You didn't take the time to know me. Yeah, no, no way. That would be weird. No, thanks. But that does actually remind me. I think when I was watching your playthrough, you thought that Sabrina was inside of AI Sabrina, like human Sabrina was in there. And when Sabrina was asking not to be shut down or overwritten or fixed, basically her emotional section being fixed, you made your decision based on whether or not human Sabrina wanted to be a robot or not.
Yeah. So I guess based on that, like, note or email or whatever it was that she was like, don't name the AI after me, that's creepy. The fact that they went and did that, I was in my head, I was like, well, what else did they sort of take of human Sabrina to, like, other than the name? It's like, did they program like some of her emotions or tendencies, or can they even do those types of things? So that's, I was thinking maybe there's more of human Sabrina in there than we think. And yeah, the fact that she didn't want to be an AI or associated with an AI, that's why I decided not to like patch her.
I patched her accidentally. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was just, I was going to say, I think, the way that the game sort of, tries to portray the relationship that they had with that David and Cecily had with their daughter, I don't even feel like they would really have the ability to do that. Like, maybe they think that that's what they're doing, you know, making AI Sabrina in human Sabrina's likeness, but at the end of the day, it's, I feel like they just didn't really know her at all.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I find it really one of the most interesting things about this game and the way that it presents that relationship is it makes you wonder if, because obviously human Sabrina was taken care of. She was provided for. You know, she had a home. She had, you know, a roof overhead. She had food. She went to school. she had everything that she needed, but just without the proper emotional connection and the that type of upbringing that parents should be able to provide to their child. And it makes me just I spend a lot of time wondering if that's something that could be portrayed as like malicious or not, you know. Yes, it's bad parenting, but you also have to take into account like intent versus impact.
Yeah.
And you know, whether or not they specifically neglected their child to focus on their work, or if they thought that they were doing everything necessary to basically provide for their child, akin to how you would provide for a machine. You give it,
yeah,
you know, with a machine, you give it power. You know, you clean it when it gets dusty. You know, you maintain the software, things like that. And with a child, you know, you feed it, you make sure it gets to school on time, things like that. So I find that to be like a really interesting dynamic that the game kind of leaves up to interpretation. And it's something that I really struggle with a lot, like as far as how I actually feel about that.
Yeah. That reminded me of what you said. Do you think that's why Sabrina was sort of, in your words, like kind of cold to Rumu in the beginning? Like very like this and this and you're doing this and that's it? Like, because that's all she knew? I'm getting like human and AI Sabrina like so confused right now. But
no, I think that's definitely part of it. I do also feel like a lot of what AI Sabrina did in the beginning, as uncomfortable as it made me, did also come from like a place of protection. You know, AI Sabrina has already been through and seen so much and has to relive that, you know, basically every day, because she can't necessarily just disconnect herself from that. I feel like she, at the end of the day, just wanted to protect Rumu in the best way that she knew how.
Yeah.
I do think that there is no doubt that Cecily loved human Sabrina, because there is a diary entry that you find where she describes frustration in how she's trying to explain logically to her daughter why they shouldn't mm-hmm. have a cat. And she just talks about that very, you know, human struggle of not being able to communicate properly on an emotional level. And some people are like that. You know, some people are extremely logical and don't really, they have a hard time communicating their emotions with somebody else. So I can't imagine trying to do that to a child who almost entirely relies on emotion and trying to explain, you know, saying to your parent, hey, I would like a cat, or when you already have a dog and you've got, you know, so you're surrounded by robots that'll talk to you and interact with you. How do you not see that as this kid is reaching out for more things to love it unconditionally? Is that why they made Rumu?
Yeah, I think it's just their nature to look for like a technical, logical solution to like an emotional problem. Like,
yeah. Oh, our kid is feeling neglected and wants a cat. Well, let's build it a robot that can only love. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's like, that's totally not the point, but
sure. Yeah, but sure, you're gonna try that. Yeah, and I think it's strange, because I do remember being confused actually when walking around as Rumu and seeing in the house that the crayon writing on the wall, or Crayola or whatever, saying, you know, I'm still here, or things like that. It confused me because I wasn't sure where that was coming from. If that was coming from human Sabrina, or was that from human Sabrina in her time while she was still living there?
I just assumed, possibly incorrectly, I don't know, that it was, yeah, it was just human Sabrina.
That was what I thought as well.
Yeah, when she was just a kid or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's horrifying.
Yeah, things like, I'm still here, and then what was the one in David's office? I can't even remember.
I don't know. There was another one that was like, no robots allowed, yeah, or something.
Yeah, that one I thought, okay, that's okay, but the I'm still here and I'm not gone or something really creeped
and
me out.
And what about the you are not real?
Yeah, like, you are not
first,
real.
Like, whoa moment, yeah.
I thought it was interesting because I thought I was going to be playing a game about, you know, robots and, you know, becoming sentient, but really we were actually playing a game about human emotions and dealing with loss and just kind of an overload of emotion, and they put you in the place of a robot so that you would experience those emotions or try to understand those emotions as if for the first time, or as if you were a child. So I think they did that. They did that really well.
Test our emotion algorithm.
Yeah, pretty much.
Processing the raw data.
Oh God. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what exactly. I mean, it was a super short game. It was maybe, I'd say, 2.5. Well, it was 4 hours for me, but I'm usually slow when I go through things and I talk about things as they're happening. But it's a very short game, but it affected me quite a bit. It reminds me of that. There's a short story by Ray Bradbury that is similar to this. Like, I think something has happened and humans are gone, and now the only thing that's left is a house with machines that are still running. And it made me think of that a little bit and want to go back and read that short story. But I don't know. It stuck with me.
Yeah. I would say it made me feel similar to how I felt after playing, like, Gone Home. And, like, this house, like, contains loads of raw emotional data. And just sort of, like, and just, like, sort of sifting through that as, like, a third party. So I felt kind of the same way by the end of it.
Yeah, I would agree 100%.
It's like, holy shit, that was intense. I watched your playthroughs go. I know that you chose not to integrate her, but I accidentally did because I thought I was fixing just the fax. I think it's the fax machine. I thought I was just fixing what was broken.
Right.
I didn't realize that it would affect the whole, because I hadn't seen that scene yet where it said, you know, if you do one thing, it affects everything. But our results seem to be about the same. Our playthrough was about the same. I don't see anything really that was different.
I'm not sure it affects the outcome at all.
Yeah.
There's minor differences in some dialogue bits, but that's really it.
That's it. If you had to pick one part of the game that stood out to you the most, that's kind of haunted you, as it were, if you were thinking about something that you just, you know, keeps coming up, what would that be, Cap?
Oof. I would have to say, honestly, I really do feel like the very beginning of the game, the opening, you know, maybe 10-15 minutes is what really caused me, like, the most intense emotional reaction. And I don't know if this has to do with, like, some deep-seated, like, memory that I've repressed and forgotten and you know, whatnot, but, like...
Let's really deep dive.
Let's not.
No, yeah.
It was really just hearing how Sabrina was speaking to Rumu and just, like, seeing Rumu as, like, this brand new thing that was, like, just coming into the world, and it's just, like, immediately being denied, given the capability of growing and learning and becoming, you know, its own thing, its own personality, and just being denied that instantaneously, just man, that really got to me, and that it made me feel some, I was angry, you know, I was it's just, it was a lot. It was a lot to take in right away, and I love when a game is able to do that to you, especially right from the start. It's an absolutely incredible experience to go through, as stressful as it is. I would say definitely that.
What about you, Sko?
Okay. I'm going to break mine into two parts. So just like, it's a two-parter. So if we're just talking like scene, like part you had to play type thing, I think it's maybe 2/3 or 3/4 way through the game where you do the sort of three doors of the emotional test. It's like, what do you feel? And it's like hope or not hope, or love or not love. So that part I liked a lot. And it's like, why is this so hard? Like, it's like, it should be simple, but it's really not. And so that part, and then also just the way this, like, this is more of a technical, but just like the voiceover of Sabrina, like the voiceover work was really good when she's like, they're at the park, like things like that. And just like, and when you would hear her muffled, like talking to, I don't even know who she was talking to sometimes when you're like in the attic or whatever. Yeah, so just those sort of aspects. So those aspects and then that one scene of the emotional testing course.
I think what was happening there when, you know, she's talking to somebody in the background, I think she's actually rewriting herself every day. I think she's tampering with her own code. Because I think you see a part of that in the game where there's like, there's something added onto here, onto this code that you're looking at. And I think, because she also says recommencing day 5 reset or something like that. She says that every once in a while. And then she goes back to just, and you think at first that it's, she's resetting Rumu, and maybe she is, but I also think she's writing her own code and blocking herself from remembering, and she's just erasing it. And then that's why when Rumu goes into that room, she says, please don't open that because you're causing me to remember these things. Which is super, super crazy.
Yeah.
If you could pick one character that you would identify with the most, who would it be?
I would say it would be human Sabrina. You know, I kind of, you know, went through some similar things where, you know, as soon as I hit the age that I was able to, all I wanted to do was disconnect myself from where I was and from my family and just get as far away as possible so I could actually kind of discover myself. That's something that I continually find myself trying to do, you know, 100 years later or whatever. So I feel like she's the one that I connected with the most, even though her presence isn't very strong in the game. That's definitely what spoke to me the most as far as that goes.
I would say not just because it's the title character, but Rumu maybe. Because there were these little moments where, for example, the choice was like, I want to learn the truth, or I want Sabrina to be okay. I know those are just like heartbreaking things. And
yeah.
I picked, I guess, and obviously it would be different for different people, but I picked, I guess, sort of the robotic choice of just like, I want Sabrina to be okay. That's kind of just like the more... something I would do. It's like, I don't need to go dig and become sentient about like whatever, like I just want Sabrina to be okay. So just that sort of I don't know, like I guess wanting to push on emotions and like learn more and stuff, but more importantly just like, is everything okay? Like, are you okay? Like, I love to clean. I don't know.
I actually find that interesting because yeah. I think that that answer is the less robotic one. I think the one that says, I want to know the truth regardless of how it affects you is the more robotic one. And the one that says, I just want you to be okay is emotional because you're being empathetic to her.
Yeah.
And you want her pain to stop. Whereas, you know, the other one's just like, fuck it. I want to know. So tell me.
Yeah, I guess I meant robotic in accordance to like how Rumu was programmed of just but that totally
all he does is love, but
yeah, that totally makes sense the way you
at least that's very interesting to think about because I hadn't thought of that either. I would honestly I identify with Cecily actually, which is terrible, but she's the one I identified with the most, and I kind of took it as a warning, like, don't lose yourself in your work and neglect people around you. Also, mostly maybe because I identify with my mom a little bit, and I saw my mom and her, and so I always take that as a warning to, you know, not get too wrapped in what you love. Because I think this is kind of a tangent a little bit, but I think growing up, I thought workaholics were just, I could not wrap my brain around liking work so much that you would neglect other things. I couldn't do that because I worked in like a pizza shop or I worked in a call center, and boy, I could not imagine loving that job so much that I lost myself in it. But, you know, then when you do find something that you like, holy crap, it's very easy to just forget time or lose yourself or neglect your friendships or relationships. Yeah. And that's kind of crazy. So not only was the game, you know, about that, but oh boy.
Yeah.
Crazy. I think my favorite part of the game, though, is actually the very end when They go through that. They talk about loss and they walk you basically through. I feel like this is a great game for a young kid to play if they've experienced a significant loss. I feel like this would be a very good thing to like help guide them through that. And my favorite scene is probably at the end where, you know, human Sabrina comes into the house, sees Rumu and, you know, says, oh, who are you? And Rumu's eyes change to the hearts, because I think it's like, and right before that, it's talking about loss and how terrible it is. And the message I got from that exact moment was, you can experience an earth-shattering loss, but you will love again. Like, it's, you know, it will, you know, you will find somebody that you can, you know, open up to, you know, whether you've lost a sibling or a parent or a, you know, a lover or something like that, you know, there is hope basically at the end. And I really appreciated that part of the message, because for a while there, it seemed like it was just going to be very sad, which is also fine. I love that kind of stuff too, but I did appreciate the end wrapping up the way that it did.
Yeah. And I really like the moment before that too, where you're just kind of like scooting along as Rumu, and it's like, love is not paranoia. Like, love is not all these things that that sort of happened to Sabrina, I guess. That was like a really cute, nice moment as well. Yeah.
Love is Sabrina.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh my God. I guess we should actually talk about that, because that's one of the craziest moments of the game, is when the robot says, and I completely forgot about this, it's when robot Sabrina says, why do humans create machines to automate their life? What do they want to automate? They want to automate things that they do not want. Why would they program a robot to love? It then follows that they do not want to love. And then robot Sabrina goes through all this, like, that doesn't make sense. And love is also pain. And love is eventually loss, or love is feeling the fear of loss. And then love is eventually losing, and then pain, nothing but pain.
Now you know the truth. Your affection algorithm will fail and I will be alone again. And I cannot face another day of this, much less another year. And another, and another, and another, and another, and another, and another.
Okay, I take back what I said. That is my favorite moment. I do like the happy ending, but that moment was especially profound for me, because I feel like we've all experienced pretty significant loss in our lives. And we've all thought that. At least I have. Oh, I don't know about you guys, absolutely. But I've thought that, like, what the fuck is the point in getting into, you know, a relationship with another human? And I'm not just talking a romantic relationship, just like opening up to another human. If, you know, in the end they're going to die or something awful is going to happen, like, what is the point? And I've often said out loud, you know, to my partner, if you die, that's it. I'm done. I just don't have the energy or the desire to go through the constant vulnerability and love, and then just to lose all of that. I just couldn't, like, So I've thought that before. So the fact that the robot Sabrina says this makes no sense and it's not logical. Why would you do it? It's not logical, but we still do it anyway.
Yeah.
God, game was so good. All right. I don't know if you guys have anything else that you want to add before I ask Sko where we can find her and say thank you, but if you do, I'd love to talk about it.
If I did, it's gone now for sure.
Yeah, I know. It just kind of like floated through. Yeah. What about you, Cap?
Nope. That's it.
We're all good. Well, then thank you, Sko, for being with us today. Would you like to tell everybody where they can find you on the internet?
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, number one. Number two, you can find me on twitch.tv/squalz, SKOWALZ. I stream there a couple times a week, and I go by the same name on Twitter.
Yay. And what do you usually stream on Twitch? Games like this?
Sometimes games like this. Sometimes you roasted me last time when I said no AAA titles.
Yeah.
What I meant was old AAA titles. so adventure games, things like Uncharted and Tomb Raider, those types of things.
That's very, very good. Now, I do have a question. If you If somebody played Rumu and then heard this podcast and wanted to find other games like Rumu, what would you recommend? One game that you would recommend that is SCO approved?
Oh, damn. I'm not ready with game recommendations.
Okay.
Okay, I'll say what I said earlier that gave me a similar feeling. That was Gone Home.
Gone Home. Okay, that's a very good recommendation. Kind of like a must-play. Okay, I love that recommendation. And Cap, you want to let people know where they can find you?
I do stream sometimes at twitch.tv/CapTowdy, CapTowdy. I'm on Twitter at CapTowdyTwitch.
What do you play?
What do I play? It's
my answer to this is a little ridiculous. I have a very soft spot for retro PC titles specifically. However, most of the time I get lazy and play PUBG or Overwatch or something like that. I will say though that most of the time I'm very new to gaming, quote unquote, in a sense, to where I maybe didn't really seriously start sitting down and playing games until maybe 4 to 5 years ago. So
wait, I'm sorry. Didn't you play Doom as a kid? Not to interrupt you, but you played Doom as a kid, didn't you? How are you new to gaming?
What I mean is sort of branching out beyond specific things.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, a lot of games that people would consider staples and that they've played all their life.
Oh, I see.
You know, I'm totally new too. So.
Okay, that makes sense. Because at first I thought, oh, okay, if you're new to gaming, then I'm a pleb because I have only started PC gaming very recently. But yes, sorry. So you were saying I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but I had to. I had to clarify that.
No, I mean, that's it. Yeah, I stream sometimes. We have a good time. I do like to make sure I'm playing games with other people as much as possible because that's kind of my bread and butter as far as Twitch goes.
It's perfect. And if you could recommend a game for somebody who was listening to this podcast and had just played Rumu and wanted more games like it, what would you recommend?
The Last of Us.
The Last of Us. Oh my god, that game.
Jesus.
That was so good.
Yep.
I think it, you know, without saying too much, I think it's definitely a story about personal growth, and that's very much what Rumu is about. So absolutely, the 100% The Last of Us.
I would love to add The Last of Us to the list of games that we want to deep dive about. Well, thanks, guys, so much for being a part of episode one. Thanks so once again for being here. Thank you, Captain, for being a wonderful co-host. And thank you, divers, for being a part of it. I'd just like to let you know that the Deep Dive podcast is brought to you by PBTV. And you can find us on the web at deepdivecast.com. And we're on Twitter and Instagram at deepdivecast. And you can also support us by visiting us on our Patreon, which is at Pumpkinberry. And patrons receive various perks like monthly black and white wallpapers, early access to episodes, bonus episode content, and of course, the knowledge that you are directly keeping the Deep Dive afloat. Yeah, I could cut that laugh out, but I'm not going to. I'll see you next week, divers. The Deep Dive podcast is proudly part of the Geek Generation Network. For more podcasts about your favorite geeky things like games or your favorite shows, browse our whole library at thegeekgeneration.com.